Ionian Finkel. Vorstellen zu dürfen. Er ist an der Universität Wien im Berliner Karlstuhl das Projekt ERC-Projekt Distortions of Normativity. Sein Vortrag steht geschrieben: The Function of Normative Process Requirements. Bitte, den Vortrag.
Well, thank you very much for this very short introduction. This presentation is going to be in English, and I appreciate that you all came to this presentation, to this talk. The challenge this morning are the 20 to 25 minutes, of course, and therefore I will make a start right away. The topic of this paper is the function of normative process requirements. And in the end of this paper, I will actually conclude that process requirements have a function within a system of normative requirements. Now, before I can come to this conclusion, of course, I need to explain what I mean by requirements, process requirements, and I need to lay out my argument for the position that process requirements actually do have a function. So let me start right away with the notion of normative requirements. I assume, in a very kind of loose way of speaking, that there are requirement sources, such as rationality, morality, prudence, the law. And these requirements issue or impose things on us that we have to satisfy if we want to be fully rational, fully prudent, fully moral, and so on. Okay? So I assume that there is a class of requirements, and they issue normative requirements on us. That is to say, we have to satisfy them in order to have a certain property, namely the property of being fully rational or fully prudent. And what makes them normative, and that's an assumption which is commonly made, is that we not only have to satisfy them to have the property, but also we have a normative reason to satisfy them. There's something speaking in favor of satisfying these requirements. Okay? I'm not committed that any particular source of requirements, such as rationality, prudence, or morality, is actually normative, but I assume that there are normative requirements, and it's commonly accepted that maybe rationality, prudence, or morality fall under that category. Okay? So in very short, rationality, prudence, morality are normative requirement sources, and they issue requirements upon us. They demand things of us. And there's some fugitive examples. Let me say right away, I'm not committed to any particular requirement. This is just to give you an idea, a flavor of what these requirements could look like. For instance, rationality requires you not to believe a contradiction. That's to say, it requires you not to believe a proposition and the negation of the proposition at the same time. If you follow Pascal's argument, you will be convinced that prudence requires you to believe in God, or a possible requirement of morality could be that morality requires you to prefer the scratching of your little finger to the destruction of the entire world. So this is these are some putative examples of normative requirements which are issued from the various sources of normative requirements. Now let me define what I mean by normative process requirements. What I mean by process requirement, or actually I'm going to define process requirements according to the content of the requirement. That is to say, and here is my definition, if the content of a normative requirement signifies a positive relation between a subject and a process, then it is a process requirement. Now to make sense of this definition, I need to say something about three terms here. I need to say what I mean by content, I need to say something about positive relation, and I need to say something what I mean by process. And I think the best way to do this is to look at putative examples of process requirements. Okay? So suppose rationality requires of you that you form an intention to do whatever you believe you ought to do. What's the content of this requirement? The content is the proposition that is governed by the requirement. In this case, it is you form an intention to do whatever you believe you ought to do. Okay? This is what I will single out, pick out as the content of the requirement. It is the proposition governed by the requirement. Now, what do I mean by positive relation? A positive relation between the subject and the process is one which signifies a proposition that can only be true if the subject actually undergoes a process. So it's actually easier to see this in contrast to a negative relation. Suppose prudence requires you not to drop the desire, okay? So not to undergo a process. That is arguably also a relation between the process and the subject, but it's not a positive relation. It's rather a negative relation. So a subject can remain as he or she is, can remain in a certain state, and satisfy a requirement not to drop a desire. So can satisfy a requirement without actually undergoing a process. So a positive relation is a relation in which a subject has to undergo a process. So if prudence requires of you that you drop a desire to jump out of the window, then you can satisfy this requirement by actually undergoing a process, namely the process of dropping the desire, the process of discarding the desire. Okay? And that's a positive relation between the subject and the process. And last, of course, a very philosophically difficult thing to explain is what is a process. And I would like to keep that rather intuitive, and I will assume I associate processes with change. So a subject undergoes a process whenever the subject is actually changing. Okay? And I would like to keep that as a loose portrayal of what processes are. Processes are simply associated with change. Okay? Something has to change in order to go a process, and vice versa. And that gives us, again, in short, what process requirements are, what normative process requirements are. They're issued by a normative source, such as, I assume, rationality is a normative requirement source, prudence is a normative requirement source, and they require of you to undergo a certain process, and you can satisfy this requirement only by actually undergoing that process, and that is the positive relation between you, the subject, and a process. The question I would like to answer in this presentation is, do process requirements have a function? Okay. What justifies the assumption that certain normative sources actually impose or issue process requirements as opposed to state requirements, for instance? Okay. Why should we assume that morality sometimes requires us to undergo a certain process, or why rationality requires us to undergo a certain process? Now, recently there's been an argument in a very influential paper by Niko Kolodny, which is entitled Why Be Rational, and he argued, well, the function of a process requirement is to guide individuals. I will not talk about his argument. I think it is incorrect. I think process requirements are not associated with guidance. But instead, I will argue for another function, which I believe is the correct function of process requirements. Now, to answer the question, I would like to introduce a generic process requirement, which I will call R, and R reads as follows. Suppose a normative requirement source N requires of the subject S that S forms an attitude A. And I take that to be a standard process requirement, okay? Next, I'm going to introduce something I call the significant application condition. This is very significant for the argument that follows. I suppose that you can be subject to a process requirement to form a certain attitude only if you don't have the attitude which you're required to form. Okay? So suppose you are required to form a belief that you are in Vienna. Suppose prudence or your evidential situation requires you that, then you can only be required to form that belief if you don't believe at this very point of time that you are in Vienna, if you don't have the belief, okay? There is an intuitive argument for that. It would be very pointless to require you to form a belief you already have. Then there is a more sophisticated argument, compare it to a case where you are actually in a city, say you are in Vienna. Well, you can only drive to Vienna, so if you're not in Vienna, right? You can only undergo the process of going to Vienna if you're not actually in the place, Vienna. And the same goes for process requirements. So I will assume that the only period or the only point of time you can be subject to a process requirement to form an attitude is when you don't have this attitude in question. And that would be very significant in the further argument, okay? Now, Next, I come to an assumption of when you actually satisfy a process requirement. And for a long time, I believed in something I call completion satisfaction. And completion satisfaction is the following view. A subject satisfies a requirement, a process requirement of the generic type R, from the moment onwards, as has formed the attitude that he or she is required to form. Okay? So let me schematically clarify that. I have a little schema that hopefully will clarify this satisfaction theory. Suppose between two points of time, T1 and T2, S doesn't have the attitude A, so S not X, okay? Then between T2 and T3, the subject is undergoing the process, is on her way to forming A, yet still doesn't have the attitude in question. Okay, so this is the period of time where S undergoes the process. And then there is a third period from T3 onwards where S actually has the attitude in question. Now looking back at the significant application condition, it should be clear that our generic requirement, R, can apply to the subject only between T1 and T3, because this is the period where S doesn't have the attitude in question. Here, S doesn't have A and isn't forming the attitude, and from here onwards, S doesn't have A, but is on the way of forming, but hasn't fully concluded the process. So it hasn't concluded the process of forming the attitude in question. So if it's correct, if the what I call the significant application condition is correct, that is the period of when S can be subject to R. From T3 onwards, S is no longer subject to R because S has the attitude in question. Okay? S has formed the attitude that S is supposed to form. And coming back to the application condition, once you have the attitude that you're required to form, then it's not the case that you're subject to the requirement to form it. Once you are in Vienna, you can't be subject to a requirement to drive to Vienna. Once you believe that God exists, you cannot be required to form a belief that God exists. Okay, so from T3 onwards, you're not subject to the requirement. Well, the conclusion that if completion satisfaction is correct, is then the following. Between T1 and T3, S violates the requirement because S hasn't actually completed the process. But surprisingly, maybe surprisingly, who knows, from T3 onwards, S neither satisfies nor violates the requirement because S is no longer subject to the requirement. I'm assuming you can only satisfy a requirement that you're actually subject to, right? A requirement must apply to you in order to be able to satisfy it. So the paradoxical situation, the paradoxical situation if completion satisfaction is correct, is that there is no point of time or no period in which you actually satisfy the requirement. Now I assume that a type of requirement which cannot be satisfied can, firstly, not have a function within a system of normative requirements, and secondly, it actually violates a maybe important principle, namely the principle that being required to do something implies that you can satisfy the requirement. Okay, so this is related to maybe ought implies can or ought implies can satisfy. And if you look at the possibility of satisfying this requirement, then there's no point of time where you can satisfy this process requirement. So I assume that if completion satisfaction is correct, and this is what I concluded in one paper, then process requirements don't have a function within a system of normative requirements. Of course, that seems to point very strongly towards the sort of, this is strong evidence that something's wrong with completion satisfaction. Okay, that can't be the right view of when you satisfy a requirement. So that's why I will now introduce a second theory of when you satisfy a process requirement. So we start again with the same question. Do processes have requirements of a function? And let's look again at the same generic requirement R, where normative requirements source requires of a subject S that S forms an attitude A. Okay. Again, I assume that the significance application condition is correct. You can only be subject to this requirement whenever you haven't the attitude in question that you are supposed to form,
which you're required to form.
But now, instead of assuming that completion satisfaction is correct, assume that's something that I call, maybe it's a bit misleading, but you'll understand what I mean by entry satisfaction once I've explained it. So what I call entry satisfaction. Entry satisfaction says it's not when you complete the process that you satisfy the requirement. It is instead when you, from the moment onwards, the subject enters a process that will lead the subject to have the attitude. So the period of satisfaction is once you start, or once S starts to form the process, until S has concluded that process, that's the period of when you satisfy the process requirement. Okay? So while the subject is on her way of forming the attitude in question.
Now, looking at it schematically again,
it still holds that as a subject to R between T1 and T3, because this comes from the significant application condition, because this is the period where S doesn't have the attitude S is supposed to form.
And then
it is still true that from T3 onwards, S is not subject to that requirement. Okay? However, we have now found a period where S actually satisfies the requirement. So still, from T1 to T2, S hasn't started the process. So S isn't satisfying the requirement. And from T3 onwards, S neither satisfies nor violates the requirement, because S has the attitude in question, has formed what is required of her, has formed the required attitude. But now there is a period, if entry satisfaction is correct, in which S actually satisfies the requirement, and it's between T2 and T3. It is while the subject is on her way of forming the attitude, is undergoing the process, but hasn't concluded the process. So the process hasn't reached the point of where we can say that S actually has the attitude. Okay? So this is then the period where S can satisfy this requirement. So if entry satisfaction is correct, and I do believe that is correct, then at least we have a schema we have a period in which a subject can genuinely satisfy a process requirement.
Okay. Coming back to the question of the paper.
Do process requirements have a function? So that's to say, does a process requirement which you satisfy while you undergo the process, within the context of a normative system of requirements, does such a requirement have a function within such a requirement system?
And as I said in the beginning,
cautiously, I think yes, it has a function. And in very
concise terms,
I think the function is to allow us to make what I call fine-grained evaluations of a normative property. Now that conclusion needs explanation.
I will try to explain what I mean by this
with the following argument. Suppose two things. Suppose at T there is a requirement of rationality that requires of the subject that the subject has attitude A. And suppose that at the same point of time the subject doesn't have the attitude in question. Okay?
The question is now,
why should we assume that in addition to R1, there is a second requirement, namely R2, which says rationality requires of S that it forms the attitude? Why should we assume that in the set of requirements that apply to S, there's not only R1, there's also R2 in addition? Right? Which function could such a requirement have? Just to be very clear, you are required to have the attitude. There's no question. You don't have the attitude in question. What function could a requirement be that it says, in addition to saying you're required to have the attitude, that says you're required to form the attitude? What could be the function of such a requirement? Why should we assume it's dead?
To give the answer, I would like you to compare two subjects, S1 and S2,
which are identical in almost every aspect. There's just one tiny difference between them, and I'll come to that difference in a second.
So I assume that they are subject to the same requirements, the same set of normative requirements, and among these requirements is a requirement, a rational requirement to have attitude A,
and both are subject to that
requirement. And it's also true that both subjects don't have the attitude in question, so they don't have A.
So both of them violate that requirement. At T, they're required to have A, and they don't have A.
Now, the only difference, and this is significant, between S1 and S2 is this.
At the point of time, S is undergoing a process of forming A, S1 is not forming A, so S remains as he or she is with respect to A. And S2 is forming attitude A. So S2 is undergoing the process of forming the attitude in question. Okay? Now, there is an intuition that S2 is a bit more rational than S1. They both require to have attitude A. They don't have attitude A. But S2 is actually going in the right direction, as it were. Right? Moving in the right direction and is forming the attitude in question. Whereas S1 remains unmoved, is not moving in the right direction. And we would like to make a difference in the quality or in the degree of rationality we therefore attribute to S1 and S2. Right? S2 is a bit more rational. Now, I said that they're subject to the same requirements. If S2 is more rational than S1, it must be that there's a requirement that S2 satisfies while S1 doesn't satisfy. Okay, if S2 is more rational than S1, there must be a difference in satisfaction of the requirements S1 is under and S2 is under. S1 must satisfy or not violate a requirement that S1 doesn't satisfy or violate. Okay, there must be a difference in the requirement satisfaction of the requirements that apply to them. Now, which requirement could that be? It can't be R1. Both violate R1. Both at T don't have the attitude in question. Right? They don't have the attitude that they're required to have. And they both violate that requirement. But if you look at R2, that is a requirement that is actually satisfied at T by S2, because S2 is forming the attitude in question and is undergoing a process which at T satisfies R2. Whereas S1 isn't satisfying R2. Right? S1 doesn't satisfy requirement R2 because S1 is not forming an attitude to A. Okay? So the conclusion is this. If we would like to attribute a different degree of rationality to S1 and S2, we have to assume that there's a process requirement that S2 satisfies and S1 violates. Right? It applies to both of them. One satisfies, S2 satisfies this requirement, whereas S2, S1 does not satisfy it. So if it's correct that they have a different degree of rationality, we have to assume that there is something like R2, that there's a process requirement. And to conclude, I think that's the essential function of process requirements. The essential function is if we would like to differentiate between people who are moving in the right direction, who are redeeming their situation with regard to what they require to, and if they have a different normative property, such as rationality, because of that, we have to assume that they're not only subject to a requirement to have a certain attitude or to be in a certain state, they must also be required to form a certain attitude. And on that note, I would like to thank you for your attention. Thank you.